And now we're with journalist and filmmaker Kevin Pina. And Kevin is coming to Hamilton this Thursday. That's tomorrow, March the 5th, because he's presenting his new documentary film, Haiti, We Must Kill the Bandits. So, Kevin, I'd like to thank you very much for being with us today.
My pleasure, Brendan.
Well, Kevin, we're very excited about this. Yeah, I know this is a Canada-wide tour. You're going to be in Hamilton, Toronto, Guelph. You're in Saskatoon right now when we're interviewing you. And just for our listeners who might want some background, I just wanted to know, how long did you spend in Haiti when you were making this film or learning about the political events there?
Well, I first started reporting on Haiti in 1990. I first started filming there in 1990 as well. That was back when video cameras were pretty heavy, and there were two pieces, a camera and a big recorder box, a three-quarter-inch recorders. It was Aristide's first election campaign and his first election victory when he won by 67% of the vote, largest political plurality of any elected leader in the history of the hemisphere. I then chronicled his first 6 months in office, and then began making my first movie on Haiti, which was called Haiti Harvest of Hope, only to see Aristide overthrown in a bloody, brutal and bloody coup d'etat on September 30th, 1991. My entire first idea of that movie sort of went along with, was destroyed by that coup. And so I went back to the people who were funding me at that time, and I said, well, what should I do? They said, well, take some more money and go back. And so I did, and I then chronicled 3 weeks of hell, of just brutality and human rights abuses committed by the Haitian military. I traveled back to Haiti several times between then and 1994, when Aristide finally returned from 3 years of exile. There were 3 years of just bloody repression, and Aristide spent 3 years in exile in Washington, D.C., I returned on one of the planes that he returned on out of Andrews Air Force Base on October 15th, 1994, and that's what became my first film, Haiti Harvest of Hope. I then decided that 7 years later that I wanted to do a sequel to that film, and I really thought, well, the only way that I could do it justice was if I moved to Haiti. And so I moved to Haiti in January of 1991, and I lived there for 7 years up until March 2006. Of course, Aris, during that period, when I first moved there, interestingly enough, René Préval was president and the United Nations was providing security for Haiti. When I left 7 years later, in March of 2006, René Préval was once again president and the United Nations was once again providing security for the country.
Yes, the more things change, the more they stay the same. We're speaking with Kevin Pina. Kevin is coming tomorrow to Hamilton right here at McMaster in Hamilton Hall, room 109. He's going to be presenting his new film documentary, Haiti, We Must Kill the Bandits. So I imagine you were present during you were able to cover the first coup. After Aristide was overthrown the second time, things were very chaotic. Did you ever feel that you were in personal danger?
Well, almost immediately right after that, I received death threats. Our son had just been born. My wife is Haitian. Our son was born December the 8th, 2003, in the midst of just utter chaos in the country. So right after Aristide was overthrown, February 29th, 2004, 5 years ago, the five-year anniversary of the coup this week, we had to go into hiding with a three-month-old child. That was not easy. We sort of spent 3 weeks in hiding. I tried to resurface a couple times and found it difficult to do so. And so we ended up spending about a month in hiding with our infant son. Of course, later I would be arrested in Haiti and held in jail for 3 days. I was beaten by an off-duty police officer in 2005 for obviously somebody who was not a great fan of my work.
Well, this was obviously a very difficult time. During that time, did you meet any members of the government or any political figures in Haiti?
Well, my first mentor in Haiti was Father Jean-Marie Vincent, who was a very famous, well-known Catholic priest in Haiti. Well, gosh, of course, I've met a lot of people. Claudette Worley, the country's first woman prime minister, Raynal Clarisme was a dear friend of mine. He was the most recent foreign minister under Préval. Of course, I've met René Préval himself. I've known him for about 25 years now. Aristide himself, a lot of them, but that really was not the subject of my second film. That was more the subject of my first film. My second film, I really wanted to understand more the movement behind Aristide called the Lavalas movement, which came out of the base of the majority of the poor, which grew out of a split between the Catholic Church, between the corrupt hierarchy associated with the Duvalier regime and the base Christian communities that were called the Little Church or l'Église, which ultimately gave birth to the movement that later became known as Lavalas.
You know, this is all very fascinating. I know on CBC, I think it was Sunday, they had a recent story on the situation in Haiti, you know, with the poverty, the political situation, Préval's government, and the UN occupation. There are some interesting details on current events, but no one really gets into the history of Haiti or especially what's behind Lavalas. Why did Aristide get elected? Why does he have so much support? Why does the struggle continue? And why are people calling for his return? It was great because they actually interviewed Patrick Ely, the former defense minister under Aristide, and he had some very interesting things to say. He's actually spoken in Hamilton as well. But in your film, I believe there's some elements from an earlier film you were working on that was called Haiti, The Untold Story. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. This film has gone through several incarnations, but this latest version is a lot of people are saying, and I agree with them, it's basically a new film. This is really pulled together with a much tighter narrative. There's a lot of new material and new interviews. It's more succinct, much clearer.
Well, I imagine then that this latest film, it details, I guess, causes of the current poverty crisis in Haiti, but there's a real big focus then on the coup period itself.
Well, this really is, this shows how Canada, your government, and my government, the United States, and the French government, basically supported a policy of extermination, an attempt to exterminate the Lavalas movement following the ouster of Aristide February 29, 2004, that resulted in thousands of Haitians being murdered, jailed, or forced into internal or external exile. This film is a chronicle of those human rights abuses. It is the evidence not only of that period of just utter terror against the Lavalas movement, but also of the resiliency of the Lavalas movement. We also know, which continues to this day, despite their attempt to render that movement, to turn the page on that movement and to destroy it, we know that on March 1st, there were more than 10,000 people in the streets of Haiti again, once again demanding Aristide's return and condemning that coup 5 years later, despite everything imaginable that's been done to try to destroy that movement, including, I mean, you know that Elections Canada is contributing more than $10 million to the next parliamentary elections, which are happening next month in April. However, what people don't know, of course, is that this has gotten to such a point that they can't even allow Lavalas to participate in the next elections because they know that they'll win. So while Canada says it's helping democratic governance inside of Haiti, in fact, the Provisional Election Council that they're supporting has just barred the largest political movement and party from participating in the upcoming parliamentary elections.
You know, the Canadian role has been absolutely shocking, and it's my understanding that during the coup period, it was then that Haiti received its first visit ever from a Canadian prime minister. That was Paul Martin, I think, in November 2004. So it was after the democratic government was overthrown that our government became openly involved with the Haitian coup.
Well, I was there when he visited, and he visited right on the heels of an unprecedented period of killing, mass killing, summary executions being committed by the Haitian police force while they were being trained by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Just utterly disgraceful.
Now, of course, we're speaking with Kevin Pina, journalist and filmmaker. He will be here tomorrow. That's Thursday, March 5th at Hamilton Hall, room 109 here at McMaster. That's 7:30 p.m. He's going to be showing this amazing documentary film. You know, when you were in Haiti, Kevin, did you get any exclusive footage of the kind of political conflicts on the ground in the streets after the coup occurred?
Well, of course. That's what most of this film is. It's all exclusive footage. It's I was probably, in most cases, the only guy on the ground there with a camera who was following this. A lot of journalists just were not interested in this side of the story. I found that to be amazing in itself. But I got to tell you, I'm not coming alone to Hamilton. I'm coming with Jean Cangio. I just told you how Canada is supporting barring the largest political party from participating in elections in Haiti. Well, Jean Cangio is a former Lavalas MP who will be joining me. He is seeking political asylum in Canada, and the Canadian Immigration Board has been trying to deport him out of your country, claiming, amazingly enough, that he has been a member of a terrorist organization, Lavalas, despite the fact that the Canadian government now has said that Lavalas needs to participating in those elections, despite the fact that they've been supporting this election council that's barred Lavalas. John Candio's case is coming up before the Immigration Board sometime next month, and he'll be traveling with me as well.
You know, it's really incredible that our government would claim or label as terrorist a political party that represents obviously the majority of Haiti. That's won elections with, huge popular percentages. I think John Candio is not the only victim of this. A lot of Aristide's parliament was put in prison on basically no charges by the La Tortue government. And I think it's tragic what happened to Jean and other members of the parliament, and the fact that Canada legitimated throwing democratically elected politicians and civil society activists right in jail or labeling them.
Well, and they did that in a very specific way. They did that through CETA, the Canadian International Development Agency, funding a so-called human rights organization on the ground called the National Coalition for Haitian Rights, which really has been called by a great many Haitians informants for the police. It served as an organization rather than being nonpartisan and chronicling human rights abuses and calling attention to them, really was a highly politicized organization that created the justification for the false incarceration and mass arrest of Lavalas supporters.
Now, they call them non-governmental organizations, but so many organizations in Haiti receive Canadian government funding and carried out objectives that were congruent with what our government had decided prior to the coup. Does the film cover NGOs at all?
Basically, we do cover the role that the National Coalition for Haitian Rights played in Haiti, for sure. That's very strong in the film. You can't talk about political repression. You can't talk about the issue of political prisoners in Haiti without talking about the Canadian International Development Agency-funded organization, NCHR.
Now, I'm just curious. Some of the things that you're saying are not really well-known in Canada. People might take it as being controversial. What has been the reception to your tour at the places you presented so far?
Well, really, really good, and mostly new audiences, people who really haven't been involved in the Haiti issue before, who did see that it's somewhat controversial, but it's been very, very well received so far. People have really liked it. Particularly, this cut is very, very succinct and very pointed, and much, much, much better done than any of the earlier versions I did. So I've been very pleased with the reception so far. Of course, being a perfectionist that I am as a documentary filmmaker, I'm collecting copious notes as I go along, and so I've got another page of edits as soon as I hit the editing room again.
Did you get any help from the activist community in Canada, the Canada Haiti Action Network, when you were making this film?
Some of them visited me in Haiti while I was there. I think maybe I helped them a little bit more than they helped me. I did go on a tour with an earlier version, The Untold Story, in 2005, where I was able to raise a little bit of money to keep filming in the streets of Port-au-Prince. But Eve Engler, before he and Anthony Fenton wrote that book, Canada and Haiti, Eve spent some time at my home in Port-au-Prince, where I had hosted him and Aaron Mate. Aaron now works with Democracy Now! And Amy Goodman. Anthony Fenton, of course, had spent some time at my house. Andrea Schmidt, a couple of the Canadian activists who've been involved in the issue.
Well, before we go, you mentioned Jean Cangio accompanying the film, and I'm just curious, what kind of questions have people asked him if he's been accompanying you so far?
No, actually, he's joining up with me tomorrow in Toronto.
Oh,
and,
really?
He'll be joining up with me in Toronto and then on to Guelph and Hamilton.
So that means that it's the Ontario tour that people get to see Jean Cangio for the first time.
That's right.
Well, that's incredible. That's definitely another reason to come out. Not everyone gets to speak with Jean Cangio and hear from him. So, wow, okay, well, there's an extra reason to come out tomorrow. All right. Well, Kevin, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow. We're encouraging people to come out. I'll be giving more details throughout the program of the upcoming visit by you tomorrow.
Well, thank you so much, Brendan. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. The pleasure is all ours.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.